Hey, good people.
What's up?
Today is,
Thursday?
It is Thursday.
All day, every day.
Today is Thursday, y'all. So you know what that means? It's time for the well. It's time for the well. So we had a guest for tonight.
We did.
Some things came up and he'll be on next week. God said the same.
He better be.
So tonight we're gonna have part two of my testimony. I know, isn't that so great? That's the surprise. I know you guys are so surprised.
Yes.
And excited about hearing about the rest of my life. You know, because that was a good part, but there's still so much more to share.
And even though we're doing part two tonight, there's still much more.
There's so much more
than that.
Yes.
But we only have an hour's time, so we do want to give a quick shout out to Fabulously Fancy.
Yes.
For the use of the space on tonight. She's
Fancy.
Located at 1201 North Watson in Suite 289. She does spa facials, waxing, you name it, lashes, makeup, the whole nine. Y'all get at her, 1201 North Watson, Suite 289, and she will take care of your beautification.
And that's
needs.
For men and women. So not just,
it's not just for
not just the women.
But I don't know too many men who want a Brazilian.
Gentlemen is the beard treatment.
Look, oh yeah, get your bearded treatment.
Really?
But stay off the table. Please stay off the table,
Lord,
gentlemen.
Lord, y'all pray for my brother. Please.
All
right. Better not be getting no Brazilian.
Pray for my brother.
Hi, Apostle.
Pray for my brother. Lord, have mercy.
Who else? Hi, Alicia.
So we're going to get right into it, right?
Yeah, last week, y'all were, I'm sorry, and please forgive me because, and I guess it's kind of worked out because I can upload them simultaneously. I did not get the podcast up that had the ending because we went out last week. We had a little technical difficulty that is fixed tonight. So now that she's going to do a part two, I can upload the first one and the second one at the same time, and you can re-listen to them both on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Anchor, and it's under the Well Replay, y'all. So, you know, check it out. Please like it, subscribe it, because we need those numbers. We need them to go up. And so,
share.
Didn't I say that when he was on the other night?
I think he did.
Share. So we kind of, not necessarily tied up the piece about depression, but, you know, when you ended there, you were kind of giving us some thoughts about how you're dealing with it now.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess where we're going, do we need to go back some?
No, I think we stopped at a very good place.
Okay.
Because where we stopped, I was talking about how involved I was in church.
Okay.
And that kind of leads into the next phase or the part two of the testimony.
Okay, so your involvement in church, I guess my question would be, was it to fill a void that the depression could not fill, or was the involvement genuine when you were there, or was it, I just got to go because...
It was genuine, and it was from my heart. It was just more of a, this is the only place I'm happy.
Okay.
This is the only place I feel peace. This is the only place that I feel like I have some type of life, you know, joy. So it wasn't, I don't think that it was all impure. Some impurity to some extent, maybe because it was filling the void. But at the same time, I think it was more of, this is what I know. This is the feeling that I get, and I need this. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to get this as much as I can. So that's where it was.
Okay, so let's explore that. So you're in church, and I think when we left off, you were saying you were going, I mean, you was going 24/7 if you get it.
Yeah. So at this point, I was in church Sunday. I think we had rehearsals on Monday or something. I was in church Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. So that's every day but Tuesday. And if I could have found something on Tuesday, I would have been there.
Okay.
So I'm finding church for every day of the week to feel this space. And to get this feeling of, I guess, that I'm alive, you know? So I'm going to this church, and it's good. And I love my church family, and I love the people there. And it's really family. Like I said, I was in California at that time, so I didn't have my family with me. So I was there by myself.
Right.
So this was my family. These are the people that I knew, that I spent most of my time with. But it just wasn't enough. I wasn't, like I said, I'm still, after church service, I'm still going home and I'm still dealing with depression. So there something has to give, you know what I'm saying? But so that's when I went to one of my Friday night services, and it was a young adult service, and they had a guest speaker. The guest speaker came, he brought some of his people from his ministry with him. Mm-hmm. And as he was there and he was teaching, he pointed me out and he was like, you know, you're going through so much right now. And
the prophetic word.
Yeah.
Okay.
So God is gonna, you know, God is gonna really touch you and deliver you tonight. So of course that was the beginning of that process. So by the time that service ended, he called me up, he prayed for me. Kind of went through a mini deliverance, but you know, not too in depth.
Nothing like what we do.
That's what I was just gonna say. Not like last night. Okay.
Nothing like last night. You missed it last night.
Listen, I got delivered.
But we do it on Sunday, so see us on Sunday.
Are we doing it again?
Well, you know, we deliver every Sunday.
Okay, so. You know, you're right about that. Okay, anyway, so he lay hands on me, prayed for me, things like that, and I get up and I feel better and I'm refreshed. You know how you usually feel after altar call.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, well, what do I do now? You know, like, what's the next step? Where do I go? You know, I didn't have a lot of friends. My friends was in the Navy, so of course, not of course, but they weren't on the same path that I was on. So I linked up with them, and they
people from the church, from this particular ministry.
The guests. So I linked up with the guest speaker and his ministry. And they were like hanging out afterwards. He invited me to come hang out. I hung out and it was great. You know, first of all, being around people my age who just love Jesus and were living for God. And we're just having fun on top of that. So I was like, oh, this is it. I have found it. So I started hanging with them regularly. And they introduced me to the girls in the group. And one particular girl that I got really close with. And we hung out all the time. And so I started hanging out. I was still going to my church. I was still a member there. I was still leading praise. I mean, singing praise and worship, all that stuff. But I started to hang out with them, like, as much as I could, if not every day.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually, and it's so crazy when I think back on it now, somebody came. I went to, because they had a worship band, excuse me. I had a worship band, and they would travel around and sing. Yeah. And they would travel around and sing. So I would go with them whenever they went out. And one of the people who was with the group, he asked, he was like, when you gonna stop riding on they anointed and join the group? Like, when you gonna, you know, stop being on the bandwagon and just...
Also, he pretty much called you a groupie.
Yeah, basically, something like that. So the crazy thing, he said, I know you've been thinking about it and you want to, you just need to go ahead and join the group. And honestly, I had not thought about joining the group because to me, I already felt like I was a part of the group. I was already there. So
right.
What you mean, joining? I'm here. So after we had that conversation, I started thinking about it and I was like, no, I should join this group. Why wouldn't I join the group? It's amazing. We're talking about Jesus. We're traveling, singing about God, preaching, teaching. Oh, yeah. I'm in this thing.
This is going to help me fill that void.
And it's going to help me fill
right
that
now.
Void.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. So later on, like I think it was like a couple of days later, I sat down with them and I was like, hey, I want to join the group. And they were like, what? I was like, yeah, I want to join. Like, I want to be a part of this.
What's the initiation process?
Like, wait, what do I need to do? And it was crazy because they had, like, so the leader was like, so what do y'all think about her joining? You know, what is anything you want to tell her, share with her before she joins, whatever, whatever. So each person went around and, you know, said it's hard, it's different, it's a lot of what's this word?
Discipline?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, we stick with that.
Okay,
very regimented, disciplined,
huh? Very regimented
or militant. Yeah, so it's very strict or you know hard.
So at this point, were you still in the Navy?
I'm still in the Navy.
Okay,
I'm still in the Navy. I'm still at my church, but so now I decided to do. We talked and I said, yeah, I'm doing it. Like sometimes I can be kind of stubborn, and
I never noticed.
Y'all pray for me, cause. But yeah, I can be kind of stubborn sometimes. So once I make up my mind to something, like, you're not going to talk me out of it. I don't care what you say. So I joined. And even got a couple of people from the outside. I was like, I don't know. You probably shouldn't do this. You probably shouldn't do it.
So people from the outside of the group?
Yeah, who had once been in it or been around it was like, no, I don't think you don't want to do that.
But did they give you any insight as to why?
One particular young lady actually sat down and told me some of the relationships she had with the leader. And
relationships like...
Yeah, sexual relationships. Mm. And, you know, how he had treated her and things like that.
Now, was this the guy that called you out?
Yes. Ooh. So this is the same guy. Mind you, this guy is like 20-something. Ooh. So he's younger than me. But he's still in his 20s. So, twin, don't start, okay? So, anyway, so I joined the group. And at first, it was amazing. Like, we would have late night sessions. It was really cool because we would get together. And he'd be like, okay, y'all got to teach. Teach on joy. And he would give you like 20 minutes to come up with scriptures and whatever, and then you have to get up and teach right at that moment. I love stuff like that.
So how were you dealing with the depression at this point?
I mean, I was good.
Was it not even an issue?
I was good.
Because you were so connected to church.
Yeah.
It was like depression.
No, I was good.
Depression, what?
I was good, and I was with them like every day, so it was cool. So I joined this worship band. We traveling, we singing. Like, this is my dream come true. Like, seriously, when I was younger, I used to pray like, Lord, let me sing with Kirk Franklin. That's what I want to do. That's what I want.
Kirk, you watching?
So for me to be at a place where I'm now in my own or in a ministry traveling, singing, it was like, this is the life, man. This is it. But it wasn't it.
But it wasn't it.
So, so things started to become, like I said, I'm with them every day.
Every day.
And they all stayed together.
So some things that you didn't know prior to becoming a part of the group.
I knew.
Oh, so you knew these things that they lived together.
Okay. Well, okay. What it was. Okay. So this is what it was.
This ain't the 70s.
Listen. So the leader has his own apartment, and mind you, he just got married. So the leader has his own apartment, one bedroom. We're over there all the time. I'm talking about all the time. Yes.
And y'all called him the leader.
Yeah.
The leader, okay.
Oh, yeah. We didn't call him the leader. We called him his name, but he was the leader. But he was...
And y'all were at his apartment.
We're at his apartment.
With his new wife and...
With his new wife, one bedroom, and it's... I think it was like 9 or 10 of us all together. So, so... We're over there every day. And I'm talking about till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes we wouldn't go home, we would just spend the night. And then it got to the point where we just spent the night and we didn't go home. Then it got to the point of I'm getting a new spot, we're moving, and we're all gonna live together.
So it became the 70s.
And so it was like, what you mean we all gonna live? In my head, I'm automatically like, oh no, 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 no.
You have your own
no,
place. No, you're doing your own thing because you're in the Navy. You're doing pretty good.
No, I'm not doing that. No, I don't want that. No. But we did. And I also had an issue with that because I was dating somebody in the ministry. So I'm like living in the same house with him.
In this particular ministry?
Yes. Huh. So I'm like, if we're living together, that's an issue. Exactly. The devil is real. Okay. So I was like, that's an issue. That's not something that I want to do. And I wouldn't want to put myself in that position to possibly fall because I live with my boyfriend. You know, other people are there too, but he's there as well.
It's the 70s.
So we all move in together. And it was...
Okay.
I don't even...
At any point, did you think that you had really traded one thing for another?
No.
Because, you know, in of course, what we know about... what we now know about iniquity. Mm-hmm. And how, okay, you know, maybe you really didn't deal with the depression. Maybe mm-hmm. it was still there, mm-hmm. but you just... Mm-hmm. Now put something else on top of it,
yeah,
as a way to say, I'm not depressed anymore.
Right.
I'm doing this. This is great. But in essence, you really traded one thing.
Yeah, for another. And now that you bring that up, that's exactly what happened. Because later on down the road, mind you, I was a part of this for, I think, it's about 3 years.
Just living together and moving around.
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Yeah, living together. So, because the first couple year and a half we didn't live together, but basically, yeah. So later on, I started feeling depressed again, and I'm like, what? I thought I was over this. Like, what's going on? So I do feel like it was just something to suppress or satisfy that void at that time. Mm-hmm. So I was good, and I didn't have the mental capacity nor the spiritual insight to say,
you gotta talk.
I need to still deal with this. I still need to deal with this depression before I can really move forward and be free. I didn't have the capacity to even think like that. I wasn't there,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So it was a void, and it's crazy that it takes this conversation for me to even realize it. Yeah, that's exactly what it felt. It filled the void that I had at that moment. But like I was saying, a lot of things start to take place within the group.
And y'all living together.
Group/cult. Yeah. yeah, we living together. And I start to see things and I start not liking stuff. And I was like, wait.
Such as
the leader was always right, always, like, legit. They had some of the dumbest arguments I've ever heard in my life, and I was like, I was really arguing about this one. Like, this is real life stupid.
Before you continue, so when you guys were moving in together, living together in, I'm gonna call it a commune for lack of a better term. It's a commune, y'all living together. It's a commune. A bunch of folks got together. Me, it reminds me of the 70s.
Okay.
Were you still attached to your ministry, your church?
Oh, no, once I joined this ministry, I left my church.
So they were a ministry, but not necessarily a church, quote unquote, but y'all was still doing word and traveling mm-hmm. and preaching and, mm-hmm. and teaching and, mm-hmm. Speaking in tongues and all this good yep. stuff, and coming back to what was it now? 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom? What are we in?
It was 3 now.
We're in a 3-bedroom. Okay. With how many people?
It was probably about 10 of us.
Okay. 10 people. All right.
It about 8, 9, 10, something like that. 8, 9, 10.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So here we are living in this house, and like I said, things started to kind of move away from my original intent for joining the group, which was to chase after God, to learn more about Him, to go deeper in Him. But like I said, the leader always had to be right. It was very controlling, very manipulative. Like I said, I was in a relationship with someone in there, but if anybody else outside of the relationship in the group saw anything they didn't like, it was an issue. Like, they would go to him, then he would come to me. I remember one time in particular, we went to sing somewhere in L.A. And a sister of mine, she made jewelry, and I saw a young man with jewelry on. I was like, oh, my gosh, you got her necklace. I was like, that's so cool. And when we got to the house, the leader was like, he said to him, he ain't said to me, he go to my boyfriend and say, hey, Brie was flirting with this dude, this, that, and the other, and that's an issue, you need to talk to her about that. He comes to me and says, hey, we need to have a talk. So we go take a walk, and he telling me about, I'm flirting with this dude and this, that, and the other, and I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I said, did you see this with your own eyes? Did you feel this way? No. Okay, then why are we having this conversation? Best friend, listen, why are we talking about this? If it's not an issue for you and it's our relationship, why are we having this conversation? Well, he just said that this is what was going on and this is something that you need to fix and you need to address this and this. I'm like, bruh. Nah, we good. Okay. And it was always something like that. Like, we always had meetings. And the meetings, they were just so degrading, so discouraging.
Toward everybody in the group or just one person?
It depends on the situation. If one person got in trouble, then it was about that person. Or if everybody wasn't doing what they were supposed to be doing, quote unquote, then everybody got in trouble. You know what I'm saying? So it was a meeting about everybody. And it was just very, y'all need to do better. And y'all not doing what y'all supposed to be doing. And God is not pleased with y'all. And this, that, and the other. Like, it was always, it was never, I'm not going to say never, but 9 out of 10, it was more discouraging than it was encouraging. So that, and I believe that's a lot of the reason why I have dealt with guilt and condemnation the way that I have. Mm-hmm. And my mindset is because,
for years,
it's just like, yeah, and it's like, and that was because I was only saved 2 years before that, so this is really just the beginning of,
so you're new, you're still very new
to the even world. Though I've been in church all my life, this is still the beginning of my relationship with God. So in the beginning of my relationship with God, I'm taught, you need to do this, you need to do that, if you're not doing this, God not pleased with you, if you're not doing that, God not pleased with you, you need to do,
follow the rules,
so
that you can get in.
Yeah,
and it wasn't hinged upon relationship.
Yeah.
So, at what point did you and the young man call it quits?
Down the road, it wasn't working for me, and I told him, you know, like, I don't feel the same way about you that I used to. So I think we just need to separate. We need to chill. It's just not working.
Did you both stay in the group after that?
Yeah. And initially he was like, no, I'm not. No, we'll figure it out. And I'm like, friend, I'm telling you, I don't want it. I don't want it. And he's like, no, we're going to figure it out.
We'll make this work.
And it took the leader, like, sensing, noticing, whatever he want to say, like, something is off with him, the guy, my boyfriend. Something is off with you. What's going on? And then our relationship comes up. And I'm like, well, I told this dude I ain't want to be with him no more. He ain't listening. So I don't know what else you want me to do. So after that conversation, then it was officially over. And
we got to get somebody to officially break up.
That was, listen, because he wasn't going for it. They said, no, you're not. No, you can't leave me. No. No.
I'm glad you figured that out sooner than later.
Yeah. So, and I mean, and it was a very hard transition for us afterwards, but then it was also, it was good and bad at the same time, because I realized after we broke up that I felt some type of way, because I also lost my father within all of this time. And I felt some type of way towards him because I had a certain expectation of him to be there for me in a certain way that he wasn't.
Like, you were grieving?
Yes. And he couldn't be because of the circumstances. He really couldn't be.
I'm in the same house.
But I'm saying he couldn't, in the group, you couldn't be yourself, is what I'm saying. Okay. So I can't come to you and say, hey, you all right? You want to go out? You need some space? What do you want to pray?
So talk about that. When you're saying that you guys couldn't be yourselves, what do you mean by that?
Basically, like I said, the leader was always right. So if he said, first of all, you never want to come against what he says. Like, I remember one time in particular, we went to a church service, and We went to a church service, and they did an altar call, and all the girls, including his wife, went up to the altar call, and we all got prayed for. And you know, at altar call, you cry and you just receive whatever the minister is saying. And we actually got rebuked for that when we got home. Like, y'all need to stop all that crying. Y'all making us look weak. Somebody came up to me after service and said, "What's wrong with them? They look tired." Mind you, we only sleep, and we're only allowed to sleep from 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. So, yeah. I look tired because why? I am best friend. I am tired.
So, what were y'all doing all this other time?
We were supposed to be on watch. On watch, really all they're doing is playing the game. Playing the game, watching movies. Every now and then, somebody be reading their Bible or something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're sleeping from 4 to 9.
4 a.m. to 9 in the morning. 4 a.m. to 9 a.m. Exactly. So, you know, like I said, we got rebuked because it's like, y'all making us look weak. They say y'all look tired and all this other stuff. And he's like, if y'all tired, y'all just need to say something. And this, that, and the other. I said, you know what? I am tired. I am. Okay? I'm tired spiritually and physically. I'm tired. I am tired. Because at that time is when I did start experiencing some depression. And I was like, I'm not satisfied with where I am. I'm not satisfied with the relationship. With the relationship that I have with God. So I wasn't satisfied. And I realized that if I'm not in a good place with God, it ain't working for me any other way. Like, mentally, I'm not in a good place. Good place as in doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But this is what my relationship with God has looked like. If I'm not doing this, if I'm not doing step by step fulfilling the rules that have been written, then I'm not in a good place with God. And that causes me to mentally go into a place of depression. So now at this point, I'm depressed, and I'm telling him I am tired. I'm tired spiritually. I'm tired physically. Like, I'm tired. And I promise you, everybody in that group came against me. The one time that I did speak up.
It's a girl, we're not tired. I can stay up 6 more days.
Right.
And pray in spirit.
No, for real. In
yes,
real life.
Yeah. I'm tired. I ain't tired.
Even though everybody falling asleep everywhere in the closet and everything else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She by herself. I ain't tired. Yeah. So what happened, you know, as a result of you finally taking an opportunity to speak up?
They attacked me. Like, I mean, and we went into a whole debate of how, because he said, it don't make sense that your tired spiritually affects you naturally. I said, that don't make sense, what you just said. If I'm tired spiritually, why wouldn't I be tired naturally? So we had I'm talking about it at least an hour, if not 2 hours, of everybody saying how that made sense and how I wasn't tired and I needed to get together.
Did you bring some coffee or something?
No. So needless to say, I ain't never said nothing again. Okay? I ain't got nothing to say about you. Anybody got anything? No, I ain't got nothing to say. I ain't got nothing to say. Because you're not going to continue to beat me over the head. But I'm what time is it? Because I want to make sure I get to the second half.
Well, go ahead fast. So, you know, after this.
So I get to a point where, okay, we stopped going to church. We stopped. And I became like the manager of the band. So I'm booking shows. We traveling. We going places.
And who's he's the leader is feeding you, apparently.
Feeding me what?
He's not feeding you spiritually. They're not. Y'all supposed to be a group, but nothing spiritual is really happening in this
Well,
group.
We were responsible for our own reading and our own praying. Mm. Yeah. But he wouldn't have us going fast every now and then.
You 2 years in, and you are now, you still got milk on your bread.
Yeah, I'm worse off than I was before I joined.
Gotcha.
Yeah, So we stopped going to church. Like I said, I'm the manager of the group. I'm booking shows, and he canceling left and right. Because he got business or because we ain't acting right. So we don't need to go nowhere. Because spiritually, we're not in the right place. So I'm getting upset about that. Because I'm like, how does that make me look? I'm booking all these shows and I got to call and cancel these shows. Like, this don't make sense. So I got upset about that. I got rebuked for that. And he started to dive into business more, like online marketing and stuff like that. So it now it, the focus is no longer ministry. Now it's business. So we go from praying, reading the Bible, studying, going out traveling to funnels, paperwork, booking conferences for the business, not for the ministry. I mean, we working around the clock, and he just out buying new cars and living his best life. Didn't get paid for none of it.
So how y'all surviving?
He paid. We lived in his house, so he paid the bills, and I was getting paid as well. So whatever I got automatically went to whatever.
So from the Navy.
Yeah.
So your checks went into
the building fund.
To the building fund. Yeah.
Yeah, that.
And you ain't never seen a dough knob.
Ain't never seen a dough knob. So yeah, it went into, or if we had shows, I would pay for the hotel room or the rental car or gas or whatever. So yeah, no, I did that. Not mostly, I did that because I was the only one who had a job.
You traded one controlling situation for another.
And so like I said, we got more in the business. We didn't get paid, and we was working around the clock. And I'm talking about, like, we'll be up to 4, 5, 6 in the morning, barely sleeping.
So we don't watch anyway.
Right. No matter, right?
Yeah.
So we started doing that more, and I was like, this is not what I came here for. This is not what I want. So in my mind, I started preparing to get out. And it seemed like everything I read on Facebook, every word I listened to, different posts, it was like, you know, basically lining up with the decision that I made to move forward. So I talked to one of the girls in the group, and I was like, hey, because they had a business meeting coming up, and they were getting ready to go out of town, him, the leader, and some of the other guys. So I was like, no, he ain't in jail. And believe it or not, they're still there. So pray for them, please.
Is it communion?
Yeah.
What?
Not everybody, but yeah.
Wow.
So, what was I just saying?
You talked to some of the girls, y'all.
Yeah, I talked to one of the girls, and I was like, hey, I'm thinking about getting out. They'll be out of town, so I'm just going to leave while they're gone. I'm not telling nobody. She's the only person I've told. I'm leaving while they're gone. I'm not telling them. They don't need to know. They're just going to come back, and I'm going to be gone. And that's it.
Now, given the fact that they jumped on you about the tiredness, did you feel it was okay to share that with her?
I did. And it didn't work.
And that was like, you know, you spoke up and they jumped down your throat in the mere fact that you
But the reason
her.
The reason that I went to her is because she was seeing some of the same things. And she was like, yeah, this ain't right. And this ain't how it's supposed to be. And this, that, and the other. So I was like, I have a common, you know, we on the same page here, man. We got this.
And so you tell her that you're leaving.
And she goes back to tell them. And listen, it turned into a whole thing. It turned into a meeting. And he was like, well, why is it that you want to leave? And I told him, you know, we haven't been going to church. I want to go to church. Like, hello.
Y'all weren't allowed to do things outside of the group.
No. But the crazy thing, because I actually asked to visit my old church a couple times. He was like, no. And then he would come to you and say, y'all know y'all can do whatever y'all want to do. I'm not holding y'all in here. It's not jail. Like, y'all not hostage. Y'all can do whatever y'all want. But I remember I used to go to my friend's house, and I would be, you know, one of my girlfriends from high school actually ended up moving down the street from us. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. So I would go to her house, and by the time I got home, it'd be late at night. I ain't in no rush. You ain't tripping, right? And he'd get there, and he'd be like, oh, I didn't know you was coming back. I thought you was gone. You know, say little slick stuff like that, but you can go when you want to.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then, of course, that became a whole issue. So back to what I was saying, she came, she went and told them. He was like, why is it that you want to leave? I said, we're not going to church. We're not doing ministry. We're not reading our word. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. I didn't sign up for this business. I don't want to do this. This ain't my calling, baby. I don't want it. And so, of course, he gave me an exchange for everything that I said. You know, he had a reason. Well, you can go to church, or you can do that, or you don't have to, you know. That's what he said. And then he was, so at the end of it, it was like, of course, once everybody had their 2 cents, because everybody had something to say.
Of course.
And I was this weak person, and I can't be trusted now. And his some of his final words were like, well, if you want to be against the will of God, then you can leave. Or he also said, well, if you leave, you're going to end up pregnant, and you're going to end up in hell, or something like that. He said like that. So, of course, not being as mentally strong as I am now, thank you, Jesus, I stayed. I'm like, of course, I don't want to be against the will of God. Like, that's not what I want. But, you know, I don't want to stay in this either. But if this is where God wants me to be, my mindset was, if God wants me to stay here and be miserable, I will.
Wow.
That was literally that was literally my mindset.
But of course you didn't know that at the time.
Yeah. No, I thought this was where he wanted me to be. So the next, because that was like May, I want to say, and over the next couple months, it was very rough. Because like I said, now nobody trusts me. Nobody, every time I come home or wake up, oh, are you going to leave today? You going to leave today? Are you okay? Do we need to talk about anything? Like, wow. You know, it became that every single
day. They were petty.
Yeah. So it became that every single day. And I'm like, bro, chill. Like, I'm still here. So go on somewhere. Y'all let. So leading up to the moment I actually left, we were on a business tour. And we came here, and every time that we came into town, we would stay, the girls would stay with my mom, and the boys would get a hotel room. So me and the other girl was staying with my mom, and I was at my auntie's house, and the girl was with my mom and her roommate. So I'm at my auntie's house, and my auntie's like, yo, you need to get out of that. I don't know what's going on over there, but I don't like it. You need to come home. It's not right. And I'm like, I know. I'm saying I know, but I wasn't going to get out. I know. I don't need to be in it. I know. I need to come home. I know it's crazy. So she's having that conversation with me. Little did I know, they having the same conversation at my mama's house with the other girl. So
stage intervention.
Yeah. So I go, when I meet up with the girl again, get back to my mom's house, I walk into the same conversation. I'm like, I can't take this. I don't want to continue to have this conversation. Like, I'm very, if we're going to do it, let's do it. If we not, shut up, because I don't want to hear it anymore. Like, I'm tired of talking about it. So we had a whole conversation. She, you know, the other girl shared her experience. I shared mine. They said, hey, y'all need to get out of here. And I'm like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this. We're not making a phone call. And we change our mind. I said, I can't go through the same thing that I've been going through from the last time I was gonna leave. I'm not doing that. So she was like, yeah, we're gonna leave. So I don't know how I ended up calling them. And I was like, hey, we staying here. Because I think we supposed to leave in a couple of days or something. Hey, we staying here. You know, we decided we want to get out. We don't want to continue in this. And it's like, oh, no, just come to the hotel. We'll talk about it. No, sir.
Okay.
No, we're not.
No.
We're not doing that. So try again. I said, no, we're not coming to the hotel room because we don't want to be talked out of it. And he was like, we're not going to talk you out of it. Just at least let everybody get together so you could tell the boys and tell everybody what's going on. So we had a splinter, however you say it, the SUV, but it's long and got just seats in the back. Splinter, whatever.
No suburban.
No, because it's seats like a. Okay, I don't know how to explain. Mm-hmm. But we had a van, basically. So he came. They came over to my mom's house, and they called each one of us out one by one. They called her out first. When she left to go out there, it was daylight. When she came back in, it was nighttime. I said, I know she ain't going. She going back with them. She ain't staying here. I already knew that because I told her before. I said, hey, don't speak as little as possible. Just don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Like, if they ask you a question, just tell them you want to get out. That's it. And she's like, I got this and this. Yeah, she ended up leaving with them. They called me out and said, hey, well, we just want to tell you we love you and goodbye. And, you know, you're still an extension of us. And, you know, you're not leaving. You're just extended family and we still love you. And, you know, threw in that touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm.
But you ain't been doing
that in there just to make sure, you know, don't make me have to come down here and get you and whatever, whatever. So they left and I was out. And
went back
with him? Yeah, she was gone. And as long as she was out there, I knew she was out there talking, baby. She was out there talking, and they was out there talking to her, you know, coming up with an excuse of every reason why she shouldn't leave. So I was there, and like I continued to work for him. And it's crazy because that's probably the third time I ever got paid from him. When I stayed at home, then he started paying me consistently. But eventually, you know, my godmom came to me and she was like, hey, you need to cut that off. Like, you got to cut that off completely. You can't continue to do that. And exactly. And so I was like, an explanation. I was like, okay. So I called in and I was like, hey, you know, I'm good. Like, I don't want to be a part of this no more. I can't talk to y'all no more of this. And he went into a hole, like, is somebody else making you do this? Or what's going on down there? And I thought you were family and you loved us. And what have I ever done to you? And this thing, like, that whole thing. So I stopped talking to them, all of them. And I already knew that once you left the group, they, like, you are a disease. Like,
that's how most cults are.
Yeah, and I've experienced it because I was there when somebody else left, and I got in trouble for talking to her. And it's like, well, I don't have an issue with her, so I don't understand.
You have been shunned.
Yeah, no, literally. So I already knew rumors were going to be talked about. The reason why I left, ain't no telling what they came up with for that. And all kind of other stuff. But like I said, I left. So here I am in Dallas. I haven't lived here in years. But, of course, I'm with my family. And I go to a church service because I'm still battling if I had made the right decision. And I just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to a church service with Prophet Brian Karn. And he preached 5 characteristics of a good leader, 5 characteristics of a bad leader. That whole sermon was for me. Baby, I cried the whole time. Literally. And after that, I began to follow him, and I've never heard him preach another word like that, ever. Baby, that whole—I promise you—I cried the whole time. I cried the whole time, but I was, you know, kind of battling being grateful, and at the same time trying to understand, like, why did this happen? Little did I know, the enemy was ready.
Of course,
he was ready. You hear me? He was ready. So it wasn't. I got out in September. I was introduced to a new group of people in October.
Wow.
And
still.
Yeah.
You ain't dealt with the depression.
No.
You just stacking stuff on top of it.
Yeah. So I joined this group. We start, and like I said, I had this powerful service with Prophet Brian Corner. So after that, I kind of just fell in love with him. Not in that sense. He ain't my husband. That ain't what I'm saying. I love him as a prophet. And I love his ministry. So the group of girls that I actually met up with, they loved his ministry as well. So we started following him everywhere. And I do mean everywhere. All around.
Y'all was stalking Brian Corn?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say
that. Kind of following y'all was stalking the poor man.
I guess.
Ain't that stalkerish?
That's not stalkerish. That's a stalker.
He's still stalking the man.
I mean, I think by definition, we were stalkers. I don't like to say it, but I was chasing the glory. That's what I was doing.
Confession is good for the soul.
Chasing the glory.
I was. Listen, I had it.
Was everybody chasing the glory?
No, everybody wasn't chasing the glory. That was the problem. That's what I'm getting to. Shut up. Everybody wasn't chasing the glory. So it was just like I said, we're going everywhere he going. We're going to Mississippi. We're going to Tennessee. We're going to Louisiana, Florida. We ended up me and my sister, this is the quote that she was talking about.
Yeah, go back. It's on the replay. Listen to it.
Me, my sister, and the two other girls, we started following him. And what was revealed to me was the leader of that group, she thought Prophet Kwan was her husband. So she thought that was her husband. So we all are in this mind of, oh Lord, once she gets connected and we all come together, we all good, we all taken care of.
Meaning once she got in,
yeah, we
everybody
all
was coming up.
Yeah.
So that was creeping on the come.
So that was her husband. I had a husband that was prophesied to me that would be my husband. And the other girl had a husband. Exactly.
We didn't have no jobs.
And I'm still getting paid because I'm in school. So I'm paying for everything. And we're using my car to do all this traveling. So no, nobody had jobs. Baby, we would listen. By that time, we were living on faith. We called Faith in It. That's what we called it.
Oh, y'all was
that was the
faith
name of
it.
Our ministry, Faith in It.
Faith in It.
Yeah.
Faith in it.
It's I never quite heard that term, but
We faith in it till we make it.
I guess we were faith stalking.
Faith it till you make it.
Y'all was faith stalking. Y'all had faith that y'all was stalking enough.
Wow.
And that was never the heart of what I was doing in our reality. Even in thinking that this particular man was my husband, somebody connected to his ministry, that was never the heart of me going to these events and this, that, and the other, because I'm very, where am I meeting these people, huh? I told you the devil had got it set up. He was ready. He knew, okay?
At the end of the day,
he was real gullible back then.
That was.
Because she was hungry.
That's really what it was.
And people played on the fact that she was hungry.
Baby,
she didn't know anything.
Nobody taught you to say.
I could manipulate.
No.
Of course, she was with the wrong people.
Who's
going to
teach me
discernment?
I'm just saying, they didn't teach the same discernment.
Who was going to teach me?
There needs to be discernment 101 taught at the church.
That should be one of the first thing they should teach you in church, discernment.
No, I didn't have none of that. I mean, I got it now, best friend. So we traveling all these. I'm talking about y'all. We traveled. Like Brianna said, we went from...
Didn't she say y'all put a lot of miles on
Texas,
that on
yes,
that Honda?
Baby. And that Honda was trusty. That's why I keep a Honda. Because, we went from here to Canada, Canada to Florida. Stayed in Florida for a couple months. Came back here. Went to North Carolina. I'm talking about... We were so... Baby, I was jacked up mentally in real life. I really thought I was in the will of God in real life. I really thought I was doing the right thing. Like, I thought this was what God wanted for me. Like, I'm out here on faith. You want me to be broke? You want me to be struggling? But I have faith that
struggle
you go,
is the will of God.
Yes.
Not.
But I have faith that you're going to work it out. I'm talking about we were sleeping in my car. Like, we were homeless. Sleeping in the car, waking up. Going to the 7-Eleven to wash off, brush our teeth. I'm talking
y'all
about
taking them kind of baths.
Yeah, no, real life. We were real life homeless. Like, had to get a membership at the YMCA so we can go take showers every day.
Who paid for the membership?
I did. That's how I know I got to be rich, baby. Because listen, I didn't get all my money was just gone. I gave it. So
freely.
Freely you shall receive. Not the faith stalking tour.
You get on my nerves.
Wow.
Anyways, it was an experience, and it was rough, and it was very.
But this is the importance of understanding the root.
Yeah.
Of things that we deal with, because as the apostle's been teaching, iniquity is the root, sin is the fruit, and the depression that you were experiencing was simply an extension of something much deeper. Mm-hmm. So when you felt like you were overcoming the depression, you just really compacted the depression
with
the church. Mm-hmm. And you filled it with that void, that euphoric feeling that I'm getting from going to the ministry and staying there, and not, you haven't really, although you've gone through maybe some mini deliverance sessions, mm-hmm. you really have not completely dealt with the depression piece, and you packing this other stuff on top of it. And they were taking advantage of the fact that they could see, because mm-hmm. I know they were praying on you, and not P-R-A-Y, mm-hmm. but P-R-E-Y. And they could see, oh, she's new in the faith. She's vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Oh, she wants to learn so much.
I really did.
Let's bring her on
I
in.
Still.
And we going to distort all of this.
Yeah.
But how, you know, we got about maybe 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. How were you able to get out of this last one?
So the last one, it came to a place where we all knew eventually we would split up and kind of go on our own, but we would all come together again. So it came to the point where we all split up. So two people were already going, me and her were still in North Carolina, and she was like, something is off, something's not right, like somebody needs to do something. And then that's basically her way of saying, you need to go. So I booked the flight. I got called my godmom. I love that woman of God. She was there. I left it with her.
What? Yeah. Wait, hold up.
She had it already. She had it before.
Your vehicle?
Yeah, with her.
With her?
She had it before I did. Before I was even there. I was here and she was in North Carolina. And she had my car. Yeah. So I booked the flight to California and stayed with my godmom, and I stayed with my godmom for a couple of months, and I really went through a deliverance process. And that's when I realized I was like, wait, I was in a whole nother cult again? Like I didn't even realize it because because it didn't look the same as the first one. So I mean, that's how I got out. Like I said, I was in California for a couple months. I ended up going back to North Carolina to get my car, and
child, we wouldn't have left the first time now.
It's a
point. Hey, run me my keys, bro.
So I went to get my car and drove back here. And
the one with the dent?
Yes, honey.
Oh, I miss dented.
Yes. It didn't have no dent at that time.
I'm just saying.
I ain't get the dent until I got here. But,
I bet you said a dent in it, folks.
So that's how I got out. And this has, for the last, I've only been here for 2 years. So since that happened.
Which has been a whole nother rebirth and
freshly
process.
Delivered.
Yeah.
Right. So.
And for real, didn't really start going through deliverance till I got to the way. Because when I got back, I went to
another church.
I went to another church and just got automatically busy. Like, I joined the praise and worship team, youth leader, the whole nine. And wasn't getting fed like I needed to be.
It's not about your works.
Or delivered. Yeah.
It's not about works.
Learning that, too.
I'm yet learning. It's not about the works.
Yes.
You're saved by faith, not by your words.
I'm just now getting delivered.
So we thank Rie for sharing part two. I know there's probably so much more. We only have an hour. But again, guys, this is understanding that if you don't identify the iniquity, you will get rid of the sin or the issue, and you will continue to pack on top of it. You have to deal with what's deeper. And luckily, she's been doing that now.
Yes.
So
it's hard. It's a process, y'all.
It is a process. And she's going to close us out in prayer real quick. And,
real quick.
Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity just to share. I thank you for your people, whoever to listen. I pray that it touched someone, that it gave someone hope, that it gave someone vision, that you would just be able to continue to heal and bring reality to the eyes of your people. Let them see you for who you are, God, in their own way. Let them develop their own relationship with you and not be bound by religion. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, thank y'all.
Next week, y'all, hopefully our guest will be available. And we're going to do that. So like
y'all.
The post, share it, rewatch it, catch
your
replay.
Share.
And all of that good stuff. We love y'all.
Love you. Have a good weekend. See you next week.